You're listening to another inspiring message at United Life. We believe you'll be encouraged and motivated as you listen. For more information about us, please visit www.united-life.com or email info at united-life.com.
How are we doing, church? Fantastic. You know me and Tim, we like feedback. So I'm going to require it of you this morning, because that's the kind of message that I hope to bring this morning, that it wouldn't just inspire you, but it challenges us to be different people. It challenges us to be the people that God has called us to be. I'm feeling slightly emotional, and I don't know why, but God is good, and I believe he's going to bring a great message through me. Yes, someone believes it down here. I think that was John Buckeridge. Thank you, John. Wonderful. All good. Actually, who's enjoying the devotion? Catherine talked about it earlier. Who? Yeah, Mike and Kelly enjoying the devotion. Lillian? Yes, my connect group buddy. All good. The devotion is wonderful. And, you know, Tim and I did take time to put that together. And we really, really want you guys to do it together. We're doing it together. Share it on your Facebook if you do it. Or just text one another and go, look what I found today. You know, God has shown me this. It's so important that we do these things together. We didn't just do it because it was something really fun that we should do at the beginning of the year. It's because we really believe in it. Yeah? We really believe in it. So if you haven't done it yet, don't worry. You're not condemned. Just get on with it. And I'd love to hear how it's going. Okay, so United we stand. So last week, Tim presented a fantastic message on the church that we see for this year, for 2020 and beyond. I mean, what a church. What a church. If you didn't hear the message, you weren't here last week, please do get it on podcast. You see, I am so excited for what that will look like for us over this year, over 2 years, over 5 years, over 10 years. And the many lives that will be impacted by Jesus. And the kind of influence that we as the body of Christ might have on our communities, on our organisations, on the local businesses around here, on schools, and more. You know, church, it's not a lofty dream. It's not a lofty dream. But it's a Holy Spirit-inspired one. So it is scary because it's not a lofty dream. It's not something that we think we might get. It's something we really see that we're going to get to. And that's why it's intangible in a sense, but that's why it gets me. That's why it gets me, because it's a Holy Spirit inspired one. So let's remind ourselves of that statement. Tim said, C3 United Life is a church that puts Jesus front and center, that underpins everything in prayer, is vibrant, is compassionate, demonstrates extreme generosity, exudes hospitality, inspires creativity, pursues excellence, is multi-generational, has a voice of great influence as a city on a hill, has a heart for the poor and marginalized, and celebrates all seasons and stages of life. What a church. So this morning, I really want to break that up a little bit for us so we can just expand it and see what does that really mean? What do we really mean when we say that? So United Life, C3 United Life is a church that puts Jesus front and center. Why? Because it's all about him. It's about making Jesus known. It's about acknowledging his goodness, his faithfulness, his promises. It's all about his love and his grace. It's all of it. That's why he's front and he's center. That no matter what we face as individuals or as families or as a church, we know that Jesus is right with us. He is front and center. C3 United Life is a church that underpins everything in prayer. Everything in prayer. Many of us here this morning will know that prayer is an incredible tool by which we get to talk, by which we get to communicate with God. But it's so much more than that. So much more than that. Prayer brings faith. Prayer ignites something within us. Prayer includes God. It means it's a partnership with him. It's not just us on our own. But prayer is also a lifestyle. We underpin everything that we do, the decisions that we make, how we live, because by living a life that is surrendered to God, we can underpin everything with prayer. We've got to live lives with a posture of prayer. And often a posture of prayer means a posture of surrender. And then it goes back to putting Jesus front and center of everything that we do. C3 United Life is a church that is vibrant and alive. Not just Charmaine, but it's a church that is vibrant and alive. And for a church to be vibrant and alive, well, what's that? That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. And that's me. It's us. It's on us. It's on us as the people to be vibrant and alive. Not because I'm about hype, because I'm not, but because of what we've found, but because what we're living out. Yeah. This gospel that we've found is something to get excited about. Yeah. That's why we are a church that is to be vibrant and alive. Yeah. That's what we also want to bring to this place, a place that has an attraction, a buzz about it, a place that we want others to be part of, that they come in here and they go, I really want to hang out with these people because there's something about them that draws me to them. And that's God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not just, you know, the great food that we make, or we have great games nights, or, you know, we put on great events. That's because of what you carry and what you have. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
A vibrant and alive place is also a place that's growing, that has new people, that has new faces. Something that's growing has a life. And we will see that life when we see this place full of people. Full of people. And actually, it's beyond a Sunday. Way beyond a Sunday. It's about our connect groups. It's about when you guys meet people for lunch, when you meet for coffee, when you gather as families for a walk, when you go to gym, your gym sessions with a friend. You can tell I don't know what I'm talking about. When you go to gym sessions with a friend, it's called a gym session, right? Gym classes with a friend. When you gather with your sports teams, whenever, wherever, when whatever hanging out looks like for you, people want to be around you because of what you carry. We are different. We live life to the full, but we're set apart. Yeah. Set apart for His name. That's a vibrant and alive church. You see, it's where Sunday mornings and evenings stretch to Mondays, stretch to hospitality on a Thursday and a Friday night. It's way beyond what we do here. And it's where we can't wait to see one another. It's like, when is the next time I'm going to see those guys from C3 United Life? When can I get there? When can I meet up with them for a coffee? I want my other friends to meet these guys because they have something.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. It's that kind of church. It's that kind of body. So vibrant and alive doesn't just mean we're excited and we're passionate, but it means we know we carry something and people are attracted to it. C3 United Life is a church that is compassionate. See, compassion is deep. Compassion is heartfelt. And sometimes it requires sacrifice and authenticity. You know, we all journey challenges. We all journey pain and loss. But we want to be people who can walk alongside those and help them and walk that journey with them. Just as many of us already are doing. C3 United Life is a church that demonstrates extreme generosity. Not just generosity, because I know as a church, for the 10 years that we have been United Life, we are a generous church. But next level, we are an extremely generous church. And that can mean so many things, generosity. It can mean being extremely generous with our time, with our resource, with our love, with our discipleship, with our money. And it's beyond what we currently do with Christians Against Poverty. Can you imagine that we might be the ones to be able to respond to extreme situations and extreme challenges? Maybe someone or a family are in need of accommodation or a home, that we might be a place that could say, we've got a home for you. or where they need extreme finance, and there's someone in this place that says, I've got that. That's extreme generosity. And that shows Jesus and it makes him known. C3 United Life is a church that exudes hospitality. And Tim's going to talk a little bit more about that next week, about keeping open home. But we're not inclusive. United Life is not inclusive. We're not a club. And we certainly don't want cliques. Hospitality includes those you know well and those who are unfamiliar to you. Hospitality extends to your homes, your families. Maybe it's inviting someone on your summer holiday with you. Maybe it's inviting people after church for lunch. It's all those things that your home and your life exudes hospitality. I love this next one. United Life, C3 United Life is a church that inspires creativity. And if I'm honest, I don't really know what that completely means. Because creativity is so many things. It's how we represent and how we present things. It's how we present the gospel, how we present ourselves, how we present our teams. You know, we serve a God who is Creator God.
Yeah.
So that means every single one of us has creativity inside of us. Yeah. It's part of our DNA. Yeah. So we want to be in church that inspires creativity. Not just arts and music, but creativity everywhere. And we want to see more of it. Because we want to tap into it from every single one of you. And it will look different for every single one of you. We want to be a church that inspires creativity. United Life is a church that pursues excellence as we give out of our best. You see, when we pursue excellence, not just as a church, but when we pursue excellence, it extends from here into our own personal lives, into your families, into your workplaces. It's about how we approach things, how we do things. And our motivation is the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
Not because we want to dot the I's and cross the T's, but because our motivation is the cause of Christ. Because then people will return and they'll go, these guys know how to do things well. And they also see the authenticity in that. And I'm not saying there's no room to fail. I'm not saying that. Because we're not perfect people. And this is totally a place to learn, to come alongside one another, because we will all make mistakes. I will make mistakes. And it's out of our best, out of my best. I want to pursue to do things well, because this could be someone's first ever experience of church. This could be someone's only experience of what a Christian is like. And we want to pursue excellence in what we present of ourselves and of our church. Is that right?
Yeah.
Pursue it. United Life is a church that is multi-generational. And it always has been. From ever since I was here back in the day to today, we've been a family church. We encompass everyone from the very young to the very old. And we do it together. There's so many advantages of being a church that spans the generations. I love my connect group, for example. We've got girls who are, it's a women's connect group. We've got girls who are in their 20s, in their 30s. Some of us are pushing into our 40s. And we've even got, I won't say how old, but we've even got someone plus 60. And that's wonderful. And I love it because we can glean from one another. Because they've gone before us. And we can glean from them and they can learn from us. Because our world is changing so rapidly. And we can also learn from our kids as much as they can learn from us. Having a multi-generational church means we're all about raising leaders and raising generations. It's so exciting. United Life, C3 United Life is a church that has a voice of great influence as a city on a hill. You know that phrase that United Life is a city on a hill was prophesied over our church many, many years ago. And we still are that. Physically, we have Taps of Coffee on the high street. We are physically present on that place, which is awesome. But to have a voice of great influence, that is big. That is huge. And Tim inspired us at length last week at what that looks like. Influence business, influence schools, influence families, influence organizations. that people outside of these four walls might go, actually, I think those guys would be able to give us great advice. Those guys have a wisdom that we don't have, and we want to tap into that. We want to be that people, that church that has a voice of great influence. C3 United Life has a heart for the poor and the marginalized. Again, it's part of our DNA. That is who we are. We value those who are in need. And again, like I said, it extends beyond CAP, but we do Christians Against Poverty so well. That service is known of us, our Sutton location is known for a wonderful, thriving CAP centre. But as we value those who are in need, that includes all of us to do that. It includes each one of us to value those who are poor and marginalised. And that's not just those who have signed up to CAP. That could be your neighbour. That could be a mum in the playground. That could be a work colleague. So we want to be a people who are open to see a heart for the poor and the marginalised. And then finally, C3 United Life is a church that celebrates all seasons and stages of life. So we're not just multi-generational, but whatever season you're walking through, we celebrate that and we journey that with you. Milestones, big and small, we want to celebrate. From exams to buying your first home, to finding a new job, to maybe even praying out loud and sharing your story for the first time in public. We want to celebrate those things. So whatever it is, we want to be a people that celebrate one another. And whatever stage of life, Catherine alluded to it earlier, we walk with Heather Wood in her stage, in her sickness. We walk with people in health, and we also walk with people in death, as we will do this afternoon, in all stages of life. So we celebrate with those that are celebrating, and we weep with those who are weeping. So church, what a statement and what a vision that we wish and we hope and we pray to become, not we wish, but we pray and we believe that we are going to become. But the question is, how do we do this? How do we become this, and how do we do this? It's simple, really. Only when we all work together. We are one body with many parts, but together we are a force, we're an army. We're a community, and we are a family of people. So the word that Tim and I have put over 2020 for United Life as a church is unity. And it's even in our name, United Life. It's who we are, and it's who we're called to be, a people united by our faith in Jesus Christ. So this year, and I love my hashtags, if you don't know me, I do. This year, hashtag United We Stand. We have to be united for one another and for us to grow and for all that God has called us to be. We have to be united. Amen. Psalm 133 in the Passion Translation says this: how truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the hairs to Aaron, dripping down from his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forever. Yes,
amen.
That's what we want. That's what we desire. Where there is unity, where there is oneness, where there is wholeness, where there is harmony, God promises to release his blessings and his life forever. And that's the church vibrant and alive. Yeah, woo, now the cat. But how do we do that again? How do we do that? Is it as simple as just saying, come on, Unite Life, let's be united. Let's live in unity. Is it as simple as that? How can we live in unity, live in harmony, in oneness with one another? Because we are all so different. We are all so unique. And unashamedly, simply, it comes back to love. 1 John 4:7 in the NLT version says this: "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." Love comes from God. We can only bring this unity and this oneness when we choose to love one another. And the truth is, we all need to learn to love one another better. I know I can love my friends better. I know I can certainly love my children better. And I can love my spouse better and my family better. So how many parents do we have in the room? We got a lot of parents in the room? Yeah. I'm a parent too, of two kids. Now, Joel has just started secondary school in September, which meant that we learned that homework and his timetable was just way more than what it was in primary school. And we had to really adjust as a family from September as to what that meant, not just for Joel, but for us. Because actually he needs us more, but in a very different way. But what Tim and I have learned is that in parenting Joel in these weekends and these situations when like homework has come about, we have to be united. We have to work together. Because if Tim thinks the homework should be done right now, but Mummy thinks the homework can be done on Saturday, that's not good. That's not good. Or if Tim thinks that this is how the formula works, and Mummy doesn't have a clue, that doesn't look good either. So if Joel knows we're divided, that is really not helpful. Not helpful at all. But Mummy said I could do it on Saturday. Oops. It's not helpful when we're divided. So as parents, we have found that we have to work together. And even more so now.
Good.
We cannot be divided because our children will see it and then they will play it off us. Yeah, they will. And then we lose our strength and then we lose our authority. So we have to be one. It's the same with my spouse, with Tim. If we're passing ships for any reason, if Tim's working away, or I have meetings to go to, so we're like, right, hi, you're back from work, I'm now off to a meeting, you do the kids, and then we're like, yeah, and then we're like, oh, good night, bye, see. Okay, that's it, that's like life. And that can be life for us sometimes. Not often, but sometimes. So even connection with our spouse is really important, otherwise we're passing ships. And we have to create moments to be together, to dream together, to talk together. Because time away and time apart will create disunity. Because I will have to make decisions on my own, Tim makes decisions on his own. There's less togetherness. And actually it's something that Tim and I really take, by put highly in our marriage, is about being together when we're together. And we protect that time. I even have a hashtag stronger together. Because I know it's true. We need to be together. We need to work together, because when we're divided, we lose our strength and we lose our authority and we lose what we've based everything on. We lose Christ's reputation, will be lost on that if we're not unified. Right? Wow. So as a church, we cannot be divided and we cannot be working against one another. We have to be for one another. See, Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, is not on the screen, but it talks about removing obstacles in our path to enable us to be able to prepare the way for God. You know, church, sometimes we need to remove those things in our own personal lives that cause disunity. And those things can be comparison, jealousy, fear, selfishness, and offense. We have to choose to brush those away from our path. Brush it away so that we can prepare a smooth and straight path for God to work. A a smooth and straight path for people to follow us and walk through and not go, oh, there's Charmaine's offence. Oh, there's that bit of selfishness I can't quite get through. We need to prepare the way for God to work through us, so we have to remove those obstacles that might entice us. So we have to choose and to actually sometimes contend for unity. We really do. We have to fight for it, because if we don't choose to love one another and contend for unity and love as God has loved us, disunity will seep in. We'll start to believe that isolation is better than meeting together. We'll start to fear situations rather than bring faith. So choosing to love one another and to contend for our unity, it takes effort. And sometimes it's also sacrificial. It's you over me. And that's when contending and fighting for unity comes in. We have to prefer one another and love one another. We cannot be divided. I said earlier that we're a body, but we're also an army. And I want us to have a look at this short montage behind me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for standing with us.
And for it too.
So I wanted to use that montage to show us that an army is powerful. Because doesn't that move you? It moved me. I watched it about 3 times, maybe 4 times yesterday. Because there's such a sense of team. And it's so much more than that. Each one of them was rooting for the other. There was a sense of togetherness for it, that nothing was going to defeat them. There was a togetherness. When they wanted to put their armor up, they did it together. It all happened at the same time. They were ready. And we're going to do life, and we're going to love each other, and we're going to do it together. It's the coming together, like them, as brothers. You see, those scenes for me can be stirring and emotive, because they stand together strong, and they have armor, and they're ready to use it. And if you know the film, the leaders of that army, they're right there. They're right there at the front, leading by example. And Tim and I pray that we would be those leaders for you, that we would be front of the army and leading you well. And we want to be those examples of unity for you. You see, as they stand there on the battleground, they stand united. They stand in unity. They are ready for whatever is about to come their way. Church, are we ready to stand together as an army, side by side? Are we ready? And they're armored up as well, armored up to the full. You see, and church is like that too. We are a family, we're a community, we're a body, and we're also an army. Ephesians 6 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. To stand. Amen. That is the kind of church that we see. That is the kind of church that we are. That in unity, we stand together. And then after everything, that no matter what we might come up against as a church and as families and as people, we can still stand. We can still stand. And I think it's really important to say that unity is not about agreeing with everything. It's not everything being the same. But unity is alignment. And being aligned in Jesus Christ. Being aligned in the gospel. That's what makes us strong. That is what makes us a force to be dealt with. So what does it take to live in unity? How do we live in unity? Well, we're to love one another. We are not to be a divided people. We are to honor one another. And where there is unity, God releases a blessing. And man, do we want that blessing. We want him to be all over this place so that we can't contain it, but that it exudes out into our communities, into our boroughs and beyond. Colossians 3:12-14 in the Message translation shares this, and I end with this. So chosen by God for this new life, for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Church, we have to choose love to be unified. And love comes from God. Contend for unity in every which way. In your homes, in your marriage, in your friendships, in your families. And here in this church, let's contend and fight for unity. Because we want to be a church that is united. Because united we stand. Thank you.